have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The Lord's been dealing with me about this message all week long. I want to share with you today Matthew chapter 24, reading the third verse of that passage of Scripture for my text today. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word in reverence unto the Lord. Surely He's worthy to be praised. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. So thankful that you're here. Hey, I'm telling you, God's getting us ready to get out of here. I don't know what else that we're going to have to worry about or face next, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to worry because God's got everything under control. In our flesh man, we wring our hands, we worry, we try to figure things out, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is saying, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. A-double-L. That means all. Everything. Amen. Give them to Jesus. Message that the Lord spoke to Sister Cheryl absolutely was the context of my message today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, as the disciples set up on the Mount of Olives, or as they set up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Jesus privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We pray that you'll open up our minds of understanding and our heart to receive your word. For surely, surely our redemption is nigh at hand. Help us, O God, to be diligent with your word and with your work. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
As they set up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto them him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? And the title of my message are, what are the signs of Christ's coming? There's no doubt in my mind, you've already thought about it, that we have heard this message all of our lives. I mean, it's already thought about that. It's already went through your mind, and I've heard this all my life, and nothing's changed. Nothing's happened, although there's been a lot of things happen, but he hasn't come yet. We've heard that all of our lives. We've watched as things have progressed with no real earth-shaking signs. We don't think. And we're still here. We've survived despite all that's went on in our world, from Desert Storm to the bringing down of the Trade Center to where we are today. We've somehow survived, and it seemed like when crisis hit, the church houses was full, and as soon as the crisis was over, we was back to our humdrum, boring days. But I want to tell you something. I want to show some things to you this morning. I want to come down into your world for just a few moments. And I want you to understand what I'm saying today. Two examples that fits both sides of the gender. And yes, there is two genders. When we put, or someone, not me, but someone puts a car motor together from scratch, it cannot function till all the parts are lined up and all the bolts are in order. You can have all the parts of the motor, all the pieces of the car laying on the garage floor, but until all the parts are put together and lined up and the bolts go in the right place, you ain't going anywhere, at least in that car. You ladies, considering baking a cake. You can have all the ingredients in the refrigerator in the cupboard. Right? You got them all there. Right? But unless you put all the ingredients together, you're not going to have a cake. And if you leave one ingredient out, it's not going to come out of the oven like it should. How many can bear witness to that? Listen, my point is that no matter what you're doing, what you're making, everything has to line up. All the ingredients has to come together for it to become what it's supposed to be. All the time that you have been hearing from you was just a little bitty baby being rocked in the cradle. All the time. Your grandma and grandpa before that, and their grandma and grandpa before that. All the time that we've heard that Jesus Christ is returning after His church, I want to tell you something. The ingredients was in the refrigerator and in the cupboard. All the parts was laying on the garage floor. But timing is everything. And God's timing, putting them things together, He said, hey, I'm coming back. Jesus told His disciples, I'm coming back. And you can rest assured, there's not enough devils in or out of hell that can prevent His return. But I'm telling you, just because all the ingredients and all the parts wasn't put together does not mean He's not coming back. And I can assure you, and you've heard this before, you can argue this fact before, surely we're closer today than we was the first time we heard it. But I want to tell you, according to God's Word, that the ingredients are almost all together. The parts and the bolts are lining up. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, we've never seen a time like we're living in right now. And if we allow our spiritual eyes to be open, church, listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you ready to get out of this messed up world. If I could scare you, I'd scare you. But that's not what I'm here for today. I'm here to encourage you, to let you know you better get rid of everything that's been a hindrance to you. You better get things right with you and God. You better concentrate and be in the presence of God 24 hours a day. Because unless you are, that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead cannot quicken you. You've got to be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm with you. I've heard this all of my 23 years. I've heard this all of my 65 years. I've heard it. But I believe it more today than I did the first time I recognized it. And the reason I do is because if you look at prophecy, if you look at what Jesus said, the things are coming together. They're lining up. And when things get lined up, you can rest assured the trumpet's going to blow. I believe it's so close today that Gabriel is puckering up and wetting his lips. He's fixing to blow. I'm talking about the return of Jesus Christ. All the parts have always been there for a long time, and all the ingredients have been waiting to come together. What we've seen for a long, long time is that all things have been there, but the coming together and the lining up has not quite been in place. But what I'm telling you now, church, what I'm telling you today, that the ingredients are in the bowl. The mixing has started to happen. And while all the parts and the bolts are lined up, at the end of the age, He is coming. Listen, our redemption is nearer than we can imagine and when we first believe. And I want to tell you today, the book of Matthew chapter 24 mostly is about the tribulation period when the church will be gone. But I believe with all of my heart that the first 14 verses of chapter 24 of Matthew is talking about exactly where we are right now. And things are lining up. Verse 1 of chapter 24 said, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him to show Him the building of the temple. Slide 1. Temple Mount of Jerusalem is greater than any picture that you can ever see when you're really there. Few that's in this place this morning was with us when we viewed across the Kidron Valley and looked at the Temple Mount. And I want you to visualize for just a moment. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings and the temple, how magnificent and how glorious they were. Slide 2. And Jesus said to them, "See not these things? Look around you. See all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone left upon another. That shall not be thrown down." It was absolutely magnificent to see that even though a lot of the walls was rebuilt and a lot of the things was around there was rebuilt and back in order, there was still a lot of rubble just like that had not been put back into place. And what was astonishing to me is you walked along and there was like little pit holes in the rocks. And somebody asked, "What are all of them?" And they said, "That is bullet shells that have hit that rock and made an indention in that rock." All across different parts of the city, they still lay in rubble when it was over there in 2018, I think it was. I want you to understand today, church, that Jesus is coming back just like he said. Did you know that while we were in Israel, we got to go underground? Somebody pulled some strings and we got to go underneath the old city and view some of the architectural of the past, but some of the digs and some of the finds that they was working on, and we was able to go under the city. It is absolutely magnificent and hard to believe that there was a rock that was a header over an entranceway to part of the city. You have to understand that what we see now is a city. The old city is buried underneath rubble, underneath rocks. There is a pile of it that's buried in the old city. And while we was there, that rock that was the header over that entrance, it was absolutely magnificent and huge. I can't imagine a piece of equipment that could lift it up now, let alone then, but it happened. But while we was under the city there, we got to see a lot of things and put some things together of what was going to happen. But what was so exciting, and when I showed you some pictures here a while back of the Eastern Gate, and Jesus is coming back through that Eastern Gate. Hello? Hey, I'm telling you, it's fixing to happen. You better get ready. It's fixing to happen. I'm not telling you a fairy story. I'm telling you it's fixing to happen. When I stood on the Mount of Olives and looked across the Kidron Valley at the Eastern Gate, I thought how magnificent, because I see what is going on, but I know what is fixing to happen. To me, that was exciting. That was the most exciting thing that I saw while I was in Israel, because I knew what was going to happen. Now, with that, they tell us that the real Eastern Gate of the city wall, the original city wall, is buried several feet below the surface of what we naturally see. But can I tell you today, it doesn't matter how deep it is, the Christ that I serve is coming through that Eastern Gate. You talk about an earthquake like we've never seen before. He's coming through that Eastern Gate. But I'm telling you, church, that he's coming back after you and I. That's blood bought, ready to meet the Lord and Savior in the air. He's coming back after us, and we're going to be with him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, church, if you've never been stirred, you better get stirred right now, because the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. You see, man, I've heard that before and it ain't happened. Well, about the time you think it ain't going to happen, it's going to happen. If you ain't careful, you'll be left behind. I'm telling you, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to arrive just like he said. He told his disciples about the city's destruction, and it has happened, and it'll happen again. I mean, Israel is increasingly bombarded with threats of all different kinds. Israel's capital, Jerusalem, is on high alert today. And even in recent history, there's things going on like never before. The Temple Mount is under constant scrutiny. And the armies of the north are poised. They're poised right now. Russia, China, Turkey, Syria, they're all poised, along with some other Middle Eastern countries that have made a decree that they will annihilate Israel. Only one problem. They forgot who Israel's leader was. Can I tell you, if you'll notice all these things, we're to keep our eyes up on the eastern sky. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. to pray for the peace of Jerusalem is simply praying for Christ to return, because there will be no peace in Jerusalem until Christ does return. You remember when you was a kid playing the game hide and seek? Me and Brother Aaron does. Sorry the rest of you are too old for that. Remember playing the game hide and seek? Most of the time, we would count to 5 to 100 or 10 to 100. And if you was really, really smart, you skipped the middle part of the numbers so you could catch people hiding. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a voice of Almighty God going out. And it's the same words that you and I said at the end of our counts. Ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, here I come. The voice of Almighty God has been ushering His presence. He has been sending out His messengers. We have become dull of hearing. We have shackles put over our eyes. We don't want to see the facts. We don't want to see the truth. But I'm here to tell you, church, this is the greatest time in the whole wide world that a child of God has ever lived. We may go through some things. In fact, I believe we will. But if we can't cut the COVID deal, how in the world are we going to cut it when all hell breaks loose on this earth? I'm here to tell you, you better get in the presence of God. You better make up your mind, I'm going to live for Jesus no matter what the cost. You better make up your mind that I'm going to go all the way with Him. It does not matter if it costs me every drop of blood or if it costs me my head. I'm going to go all the way with Jesus, because I'm here to tell you, heaven is worth it all. There ain't nothing we can go through down here that's going to worth missing heaven for. I'm here to tell you, church, we got to make heaven our home. We got to be ready. And ready or not, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Verse number 3 says, "And as He sat on the Mount of Olives, are we on number 3? I think so. Yes. As He sat on the Mount of Olives," stay with me, "the disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us what these signs are going to be and what the signs of that coming, the end of time.'" It seems everybody wants a sign or at least a booklet on the how-tos. The sad part about it is we have the instruction manual, but nobody wants to read it. The disciples came to Jesus and asked Him for the intel on the situation. They thought sure it was going to happen in their time. Did you hear that? That's all we want. We want the intel. We want to know when. We want to live like we want to live until about 5 minutes before the trumpet sounds and make things right. I'm here to tell you it ain't going to work like that. He wants those that's going to go home to be with Him and live with Him forever. He wants to know what kind of stuff you got and how much you love Him. Well, that got quiet. They asked Jesus for the intel of the situation, and He gave them the details specifically. And yet when they arrested Jesus, is anybody listening to me this morning? They was intent to knowing, "Lord, tell us what these things are going to be. When are they going to happen?" And yet when they came to arrest Jesus, all of a sudden, the disciples had an identity crisis. Is anybody listening to me this morning? Peter said, "Lord, I'll be with you no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens, Lord, I'm going to be with you." And he tried to take off the soldier's neck. Yeah, he hit his ear, but he was shooting for the neck. And Jesus said, "Peter, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even understand the circumstance." And when it come down to where the rubber meet the road, Peter, he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. And yet he had an identity crisis when it come down to where he was. Church, where in the world are we today? We haven't walked with Jesus like the disciples did. We haven't talked to Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus break the fish and the bread and feed the thousands. We haven't seen that. So where are we today? Are we ready? Are we ready to live for Him regardless of the cost? He said these things were going to come. We've got the how-to manual. We've got the Word. But do we have it in our heart? There's an identity crisis going on. I said there's an identity crisis going on in our world today. So I got to ask you this morning, what's your status in your identity? How far will you go with Him to be recognized? Peter comes so far as to curse. I don't even know this guy. I don't even know this man. I'm telling you, this is one of the most sobering questions I ever asked myself or ever ask anybody. Are you in an identity crisis? When it comes down to it, how far will you go to be recognized with Him? Are you already following afar off? Are you already following afar off? You may not be shouting right now. If you get this down in your spirit and your soul, you'll be shouting later on the streets of glory. Amen. Cut 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man, don't let men deceive you. There's a lot of deception in our world today. Our world and our society, with all this stuff's going on, there's two things. Confusion and fear. And God is not the author of confusion, and He's not the God of fear. So we must understand the battle that we're fighting is not in the form of flesh, but it's in the form of the Spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, it is real. But behind it is hell-inspired that's trying to put division and trying to put fear and trying to put confusion within the minds of people. We can't even get along together. How in the world are we going to go to heaven together? The Bible tells us in the last days, Jesus told His disciples that there's going to be false prophets, there's going to be false Jesuses. And this is one of them. There's at least seven men, at least, there's more, but there's at least seven men around our world today that claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Are you with me? Okay. Many of them already have a good crowd of devoted believers. There is one of them that is a retired Siberian traffic cop named Verizarin, and he's one that claims to be Christ. There's also a British spy named David Saylor, who is a crossdresser that claims to be Jesus Christ, and that's his picture. And we wonder if the world's went crazy yet or not. Now I'm convinced that none of you would be convinced to believe or be convinced to follow these nuts. My concern is, what would you be convinced of or believe in? What about? It'll be a long time before Jesus comes. Pastor's just all worked up. We got plenty of time. Would you be able to be convinced of that? Would you be able to be convinced? We really don't have to go to church. I can have church at home. And church really isn't that important anyway. Or would you believe that, well, the Bible really isn't completely flawless, and it's only a suggestion anyway? I'm here to tell you today that the Ten Commandments are not a charter of suggestions. I wonder if we would believe that aspect of, well, all you have to do is really be a good person and surely I'll make heaven. I just got to be a good person. I wonder if you would fall for the fact that God would really, He'd never really send someone to hell. And you're exactly right. He wouldn't. He's tried everything in this world to make the path clear for you. Yes. Sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross and shed every last drop of blood. Amen. He has paved the trail with mercy and grace. Yes. And if anybody goes to hell, they'll go there on their own recognizance. And I assure you, the Bible says that hell has had to enlarge itself because of those that did not and would not and refused to believe. Verse 5 said, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm here to tell you, when Christ comes back after His church, He will not set His foot on the earth first. We will rise to be Him. Hello? I'm telling you, the how-tos. We're going to rise to meet Him. That spirit that lived inside of Christ has got to live inside of us. Amen. Slide 5. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Can I tell you today, church from Afghanistan, as we all know the crisis there, to the entire Middle East, from Iran, Yemen, the Persian Gulf, Israel, United States, China, Russia, North Korea, and many places we never even heard of is in touch in such turmoil and war. Much of the Middle Eastern countries want Israel eliminated. But I told you earlier, they don't know their captain. China and Russia wants control of the world. There is such humanitarian crisis as we've never seen before. Hatred for Jews and Christians is at an all-time high. Yes. And many in our society and around the world is setting the stage to control you, to control the population, to seek for you and I to have a socialist, communistic society, and many of which is in our governmental system right now. Bible tells us that nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. The reason I know that things are lining up is because these countries, these nations have fought and squabbled all their life about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the biggest. And we are coming to a place now to where many of those countries that did not have the capability, it's lining up. They have the capability now. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. I believe that what Jesus was saying here, that not only the famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, but there is so many things that's happening in our world today that is absolutely mind-boggling. I thought it was so unique. I don't know if any of you seen this or not, but it is very seldom that it snows in Jerusalem. But this year in February, they had a measurable amount of snowfall. Crazy. It didn't happen, but it does happen. You say, well, that's really nothing. At least 7+ magnitude earthquakes have hit this year. There has been 96 wildfires in the U.S. that has burned 2,427,574 acres. So, well, that's just part of life that happens every year. It had never been this bad. There's been 622 confirmed tornadoes in the United States this year. We've had winter storms. We had one of the latest freezes we've ever had, and it was one of the coldest. Some of you are still trying to replant some of the shrubs and stuff that got killed in the freeze. You ever heard of flash floods like we've had this past year? Mudslides? The world is groaning and travailing. The NOAA Weather Service has predicted that there's going to be somewhere between 15 and 21 sizable hurricanes this year. And I thought it was so unique as I read this, that as Dave was predicting this as what they seen, things lining up, are you hearing me? Things lining up, they use the word harbinger in the report. Wow. Coincidence? Maybe. You know what harbinger means? It means the signs. What your pastor's talking to you about today is the harbinger. They're signs. They're signs. Clip 6. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Can I tell you, some of the largest majority in our government today feels that the biggest problem in our world today is the Christians. You can believe it if you want to. Our administration right now thinks the biggest problem is Christians. Our present administration is using tax dollars, whether you like it or not, to fund abortion. To expand his view on gender ideology. And they're doing their best, along with Kamala Harris, to abolish the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And she's trying to replace it. It is her agenda to replace it with the Do Not Harm Act, which prevents people, against the law, to prevent people from practicing their faith in the public. And it is endorsed by our Vice President. I'm just going to tell you like it is. It's very sad, church, when the Christians in Afghanistan are willing to give their heads for their commitment to Jesus Christ and their love, facing with torture and body dismemberment, while Christians in America are staying home from church, and many have abandoned their faith for the fear of COVID that our government has put in our minds and in our society. God help us today to get a hold of God and to realize it's time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ stand up. Church, I'm telling you, we are a militant army. We are a militant army, and we've got to stand up in the face of adversity. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It's what I'm talking about, the confusion, the hatred, because nobody can agree and everybody's trying to listen to everybody else. I'm here to tell you it's time we look to God. It's time we look to God. Clip 7. Prayer has been taken out of our school. Mandates have been made to override parents' authority. Laws have been changed to promote the leftist agenda. History of our nation has been hated and must be rewritten. And if you want to know why, it's because our country's leader and our forefathers was established on the faith of our Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so if we can get rid of the written laws and rewrite them of our history, we can remove God from our establishment. That's why they're trying to rewrite history. In case you didn't know, in case you didn't understand, they've got to rewrite history because they've got to get God out of the picture. And they can't get God out of the picture until they get George Washington and Thomas Jefferson out of the picture. That's why the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence has got to be changed. Because we got to get God out of the picture. It has nothing to do with anything else. But the whole plot is to get God out of the picture. Amen. Thomas Jefferson said these words, "God who gave us life, give us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that his liberties are a gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his just cannot sleep forever." Wow. Verse 11. "Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." There's so much false information in our world today. One can become so confused of what to believe or not to believe. Fear and terror have been played in the latest pandemic to the point of literally holding people prisoner in their own skin. Sad to say, a lot of people refuse to do their own homework and fall to the lies of others when we're here. When we hear lies enough, when we hear lies enough, we'll start to believe them. Remember what I quoted to you last week about George Orwell? The farther society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. John 15 and 20. Remember the words I spoke, Jesus said to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obey my teaching, they will also obey yours. And because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. My goodness, church, where would I start here? All the hatred and destruction from city to city. Those who uphold and enforce the law are hated the most. Our police officers. Those who love God, send their kids to Christian school and teach them moral responsibility, are hated and labeled as terrorists. We live in a culture who loves the wrong and evil and hates the right and the righteous. Never in a time have we seen families turn on each other and demand their rights and wants regardless of who they hurt. I ask for our kids to come, so don't get it all discombobulated. You know what that means? I don't either, but it sounds good at the time. Because iniquity abounds. Fighting one another. We despise one another anymore. The Bible said in the last days, what used to be right will be wrong, and what was wrong will be right. Are we there? Verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Slide 8. Galatians 5 and 7 said you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Listen, church, I don't know how much more plain I can be about things lining up. If you just stop, put the pieces of the puzzle together, they're lining up. If we live in the perimeters of God's presence, we will be uniquely aware of those things that Jesus said would come to pass. And his return will not catch you sleeping and unprepared as it did the foolish virgins. I got to read that again. Things are lining up. If we live in the perimeters of God's presence, we will be uniquely aware of these things that Jesus said would come to pass. And his return will not catch us sleeping and unprepared as the foolish virgins were. Verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. I've had people say that Christ couldn't come back because not everyone had heard the gospel. But I just want to declare to you today that with all the technology we have today, it's not because everyone hasn't heard. It's because people ain't listening. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 said the days are coming. I'm telling you, the church of Jesus Christ in America today has been spoiled rotten. But it's time we rise as an army. You know why? He loved us enough today to come by and speak to us. And to let us know he's coming back. And to be the soldier of the cross that he desires for us to be. Amos chapter 8 verse 11 says, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. The reason, church, I'm so adamant about this message today, like never before, we have heard the message of Jesus Christ's return. It's because things are closely aligned. Slide 9. Of what he said would happen for him to come back for his bride. They are closely aligned. I've told you this before, it's not no secret, but I love to go out on my back porch at night, stare at the stars, see if I can identify the planets. And I like to look to see which ones line up, parallel, or make into a form of a Big Dipper, or whatever. That didn't just happen. My God put it together. And we all know, we've experienced the last several months, when the planets, the moon, the sun, all lines up and gets in a straight line, something happens, right? It has. It just has. There's been tidal waves, there's been blood moons, there's been all different kinds of things. There's been eclipses that are pretty cool if you can see them. A lot of things have happened, but it only happens when things line up. Are you getting the picture? Things are lining up. I'd love to be shouting on the hills of glory with you this afternoon. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody, get a hold of God. Somebody touch the throne of God. Say, I hear you, Pastor, but I still got some time. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But things are lining up. John chapter 16, verse 21. The woman, when she gives birth to a child, has grief, anguish, agony, because her time has come. But when she has delivered the child, she no longer remembers her pain or trouble or anguish, because she is so glad that a man child or a child, a human being, has been born into this world. So, for the present, you are also in sorrow. John's speaking to us right now. There's things happening right now. Things are not really pleasant right now, but I'm here to tell you, we ain't seen it all yet. But John's telling us, and he's comparing us to a lady that's given birth to a child. When she's in those birth pains, it ain't pleasant, it ain't happy. Mama, can I get a response? But oh, when that baby comes, there's such joy. And John is saying, so for the present, you are also in sorrow and distress and depressed. But I will see you again, and then your hearts will rejoice. And no one can take from you your joy, your gladness, or your delight. You know why? Because we got a Savior, and we're getting ready to get out of this world. Would you stand with me all over the building?